Welcome back to The Modern Democracy. It is so wonderful to have you here with me today. I seriously hope that you are staying well, you are looking after your mental health, and you're surviving this utterly dreadful lockdown right now if you're listening from New South Wales. And even if you aren't in lockdown, I still hope that you are doing very, very well. Today we are going to be doing an AusPoll roundup episode. Something new, something fun, because if you have been watching the media space lately, you would know that there has been a heck of a lot happening. I'm going to be explaining what big political changes are occurring right now that are impacting your life and how these things are changing our future by breaking down some of these huge events. Some of the things I'm going to be noting on today are coalition tax policies, what they are and why Labor's supporting them, and probably addressing some of the recent heat they've been facing. And we're going to talk about how this policy directly affects young people like you and I. We're also going to talk about what pork barreling is and what rorts are, and one very new exciting development in Australia for women that has been brought about by Brittany Higgins. This one is going to be really, really interesting, so sit back, relax, put this on in the background, grab a tea or a coffee, and let's just jump straight in. The next big thing that has been hitting the front page lately are the phrases pork barreling and rorts relating to car parks. So random, I know. But we've had what's been dubbed a car park rort scandal, and in a very basic synopsis, we've had the Liberal Party use public money, or money that doesn't belong to a political party specifically, but instead the entire government, to fund the building of car parks in government electorates or areas that are Liberal seats, which means that the person that represents that electorate in the House of Reps is a member of the Liberal Party, and that area has a majority of people who vote Liberal. So they basically funded these car parks in places to try and get re-elected by impressing the community to keep them voting Liberal, instead of using this public money to build stuff that's actually needed in electorates that maybe aren't Liberal. They've also built car parks in what we call marginal or targeted electorates. These are areas that might be 50-50 between Liberal and Labour, and they're kind of thinking, if we build them a nice car park, maybe they'll vote for us next election. This is a classic example of pork barreling or rorting, where governments take public money, the money of the people, and use it to uplift areas where they have a majority of people that vote for them so that they can make sure that they keep staying in power. Basically, in our car park case, you had the federal government decide to dedicate $389 million to fund the construction of car parks. They then had the Minister for Infrastructure develop a top 20 list of marginal or targeted seats to guide the process, instead of developing a fair and independent set of criteria to decide where they should actually be building them. And this meant that 77% of all of that money went to building car parks in Liberal areas. They were actively attempting to choose electorates to build car parks in that would maybe vote Liberal if they could be swayed, or areas that they wanted to set up the Liberal Party as a stronghold for future election. Unfortunately, our example of car parks today are not an isolated something, because rorting and pork barreling happen a whole lot in Australian politics. You had the same thing happen with what we call the sports rorts, relating to pork barreling with money that was supposed to be used to upgrade sports facilities for certain electorates. The Minister for Sport, Bridget McKenzie, ignored the assessment process you're supposed to use to decide where to give money to, and instead used her own. She basically gave 70% of all of that money to Liberal national seats, or to seats that had links to members of the Liberal Party. And good old Gladys Berejiklian has been caught multiple times using corrupting rorting. She had something that we call the Stronger Communities Fund, where she, with $252 million in 2019, gave 95% of that to Liberal Party seats and electorates on a purely political basis to maintain support for the Liberal Party. She didn't make an effort to develop any kind of independent criteria to decide who gets the money, and quite literally just took apolitical public money that's not supposed to be belonging to the Liberal Party to use it to keep her government in power. And when she was questioned about her corruption, she quite literally said it wasn't illegal. And technically in New South Wales, it actually is. And for the car parks, Alan Tudge, who is the Minister for Infrastructure, the guy who runs the department, when asked about were the buildings of the car parks corrupt, he was absolutely dumbfounded. He could not even muster a word. They just know that it is bad and slimy behaviour, and it does not look good, and inherently it is corruption. So the question people would ask, and I used to ask myself sometimes, is why does it matter so much? Aren't they just using that money to build stuff that communities might actually need? And sure, some Liberal electorates might actually need car parks or upgrades to sports programs, but when ministers use loopholes and create bias systems to decide where money needs to be allocated, virtually bending the rules, it just becomes an abuse of power, and it is corruption. It's behaviour that does not act in the best interests of voters like you and I, and it hurts the economies of our states majorly. Using money that isn't supposed to be used for you to gain political support, is just wrong. That money should be allocated in a way that contributes to the well-being of the whole community. You imagine if that money was funded into building social housing for First Nations Australians, low-income households, and women and children fleeing situations of domestic violence, or it was used to upgrade our infrastructure, or it was used to allow farmers to buy new machinery to operate their business and compensate them for the devastating losses that have plagued their lives. Pork barreling is a clear violation of the job that people in government are supposed to do, and that is quite literally just to work in the interests of the Australian people. And that means putting the legitimate interests of the community and the needs of the community over trying to manipulate a system to make sure you stay elected and make sure people keep voting for you. These continued instances of pork barreling and rorting are driving factors that push the need for what we call a federal ICAC, which the Labor Party are wanting to introduce. ICAC, like we have in New South Wales, is the Independent Commission Against Corruption. and it's a body that actually works separately from the government that investigates any kind of instance of rorting or pork barreling, and it proposes the changes that we can make to laws to stop politicians from abusing their power, and it basically just monitors their behaviour. We certainly have one at a state level, but not at a federal level, which means it is easier for governments to abuse their power on a mass scale, because the federal government is the government that affects our life the most. Having this body at a federal level, according to Labor, would restore some of the truth and integrity in government and make sure we have some transparency, some truth-telling, and some accountability for the actions that these people take, and make sure they realise that they actually impact ordinary Australians like you and I. Another recent thing that has happened in Australian politics is Alan Jones, a very well-known right-wing commentator, and Sky News, both literally the crown jewel of hardcore conservative media, being subject to a 7-day ban on YouTube for spreading misinformation about COVID-19. If you do not know who Alan Jones is, lucky you. He's been on Aussie radio since the dawn of time. He said the N-word twice on live television. He has suggested Australians should incite a murder against 2 female prime ministers. He believes the government should continue stealing children from Indigenous families, is quite literally a white supremacist, and had huge involvement in the Cronulla riots, and also worked as a teacher at King's College, but was forced to resign over multiple allegations of inappropriate conduct with schoolboys. He's not a very good man, but Liberal Party politicians stand by him and blatantly refuse to say that he has done anything wrong. Basically, him and Sky News have been prompting that the drug hydroxychloroquine is a treatment for COVID-19, and they have been posting videos that deny COVID's existence and are heavily anti-vax. And this is on a platform that has a lot of viewers, about 1.3 million subscribers. And they've basically had their channel taken down to make sure that they are not endangering the health of the public. And thankfully, a new development that has happened is that they have both been put under investigation by the government for this, and they have been called in for a Senate inquiry. If you watched my first episode on how the government works, you'll know that one of the main roles and powers of the Senate in Australia is to hold committees and investigations into areas of concern in the country. So that's something interesting that's happened. It's still very quite shocking to me that at least this extremist conspiratorial and racist news channel hasn't been banned for good, but you know what? We'll see. And finally, on a more positive note, after months of campaigning and the brilliant work of Brittany Higgins, who was a young woman who was brutally taken advantage of within Parliament House by a senior colleague, and many other strong women, independent inquiries for workplace complaints are now in place in Parliament House. And this means that if any individual feels that they have been subject to a situation that has made them feel unsafe, have been sexually assaulted, or feel that they have been taken advantage of, they can actually make a formal complaint and it will be evaluated separate from the government, which means decisions made on this matter are not going to be influenced by politics and political gains anymore. And this has come after hundreds of women have rallied for change, have spoken out against the male-dominated victim-blaming agenda in government, and it is certainly a step in the right direction to making sure workplaces are safe. So this is something that is really, really exciting, and I cannot wait to see how this is going to impact people's lives. We also had our Prime Minister unveil a $1 billion package to fund the Closing the Gap targets. If you don't know, Indigenous Australians and White Australians have vastly different life outcomes. Things like life expectancy, health, unemployment, and education are very different, and it is a huge problem in the country. The policy that was introduced includes $378 million in a redress scheme for survivors of the Stolen Generation to provide them with $75,000 in compensation for the harm that was inflicted upon them from those policies that the government introduced, where they basically would take Indigenous children from their families and force them into assimilating into white Australian Western culture. Another $50 million of that will go to Indigenous services, and they've added 17 new targets to the policy. However, only 3 are on track so far, and many of the targets do not possess any data at all. The policy so far has bipartisan support from the Labor Party, but the Labor Party are wanting to extend it even further. They're looking to establish a Makarrata Commission to oversee truth-telling initiatives and form treaties with First Nations people. And they're wanting to implement the proposed changes from the Uluru Statement of the Heart, which wanted an Indigenous voice in Parliament and a representative body. And they are really focused on boosting job opportunities for Indigenous Australians in rural and remote regions. Hopefully this policy does not become another announcement from Scott Morrison and is actually going to be achieved, because it is certainly something that should have been done a very long time ago. And it's certainly the first time, at least I think, in 8 years of Liberal governments that we've actually seen some care and initiative directed towards Indigenous Australians and bettering their outcomes. There also does remain a lot of speculation amongst multiple Indigenous organisations regarding whether or not this one-time funding injection, this one-time allocation of money, will be enough to actually counter and repair those decades of severe underfunding and those severe lack of priority on the Closing the Gap target. That seems to wrap up our first AusPoll roundup for today. Hopefully this can be a new series if it's well liked, and I can start to bring it to you guys if it's something that's nice and easy to listen to, so you do not have to be leafing through thousands and thousands of media articles to get the gist of what's been happening in the political world. I really hope you've been able to get a clearer view of all the big events and now understand some of those larger concepts. We talked about coalition tax policies and what the stage 3 of the personal income tax plan is and why it's seriously negatively affecting low income and young people, as well as why Labor might be backing it. We also spoke about what pork barreling and rorting is and the impacts it's having on Australian society and why it's actually corruption. We also mentioned Alan Jones and Sky News being banned from YouTube for their platforming of COVID misinformation. We noted on the change that has occurred in Parliament House thanks to the amazing, strong Brittany Higgins. And we've also talked about Scott Morrison's $1 billion injection into Closing the Gap targets. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode and learned something, and I hope to see you back soon on The Modern Democracy. Have a wonderful day.